Well, it's the start of our brand new Bible study series called The Unnamed Women in the Bible, a five-part series with this free Bible study guide that you can download right now on our See, Hear, Love website. Now, did you know that theologians estimate that more than 600 women are mentioned in the Bible without their names? So in the following Bible study series about these inspiring unnamed women and girls, we will learn more about their context and history. We will dive deeper into the stories and lives of these women. We will ask questions. We will listen to the Holy Spirit, and we will listen to one another. We will write down our personal thoughts and learnings, and we will challenge ourselves on applications and next steps. So get your pen and pencil out, because we are going to study together and learn about some incredible unnamed women in the Bible. But today, we, the panel, will be sharing our stories, why we choose to follow Jesus, our unique and powerful encounters with God, Bible verses and stories that have been an anchor for us in our faith journey. So you get to know us before we dive into stories of the unnamed women in the Bible. Sound good? Well, that is coming up right now on See, Hear, Love.
From Crossroads Media, this is See, Hear, Love with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 11.
Okay, this is exciting! Woo-hoo! I am so excited. This is the start of a five-part series with all of you amazing women as we study unnamed women in the Bible. I can't believe they're all here, from British Columbia to Toronto, sitting around the table here in the studio. This is amazing, miraculous. And I am so, so excited. I just want to thank the Canadian Bible Society for sponsoring this. Love our partnership. And also don't forget to download the free Bible study guide at seeherelove.com/unnamedwomenstudy. We're going to be using it all throughout this series, so make sure you do that. But before we get going, I have to introduce this panel. Anne Miranda, hi.
Hi, friend. How
are you? Welcome. And Anne, you are pastor, speaker, and author, but also... Ladies, we need to give a shout out. Anne worked hard on this. Anne was the one who got this together, yeah. Wrote the content. Grateful for you. Thank you.
It's beautiful.
You did an amazing
job. Looks wonderful. I love that.
Really coordinated us. Yeah. Like, it really rallied us in.
It's beautiful.
Yes. So great job, Anne. Thank you so much. And welcome, welcome, welcome. Dr. Sarah Hahn, Assistant Professor of Pastoral Ministry at Tyndale University. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
It's really good to have you here.
So excited.
First time. And so I love that. I'm looking forward to hearing what you're going to be saying in the next while. Helen Burns, also all the way from British Columbia, pastor and international speaker and traveler of the world. Welcome.
Oh, it's great to be back.
Yeah, it is. It's really great. I know, because we did the last study, which was our Unknown Women of the Bible series. Mm. So it's good to have the two of you back. And a new guest with us too here, Bishop Jenny Anderson, rector of St. Paul's Bloor Street and St. George's Grange Park in Toronto.
Yes, great to be here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, let's get going. Thoughts on our Bible series. Mm. Initial thoughts. How are you feeling about this? First of all, being together for five shows, five episodes, five studies, but also what are your initial thoughts? How are you feeling about it?
I'm super excited to hear from this panel and to learn from each other. I think it's a really unique opportunity to hear Canadian voices, and I love this. And I'm excited to dive into the stories of these women that are unnamed. Mm-hmm. It's like we're unpacking a mystery.
Oh, unpacking a mystery. I like that.
It's awesome. First of all, I'm so excited to make two new friends.
Yeah.
I think this is so great. I always say everybody in the world needs more friends. So I'm so tickled to be at the table with both of you. These two I've known for a while, and they're amazing. But I love that. No, I think this is so wonderful when we can just take the Bible and learn not only obviously from the Word of God, but from each other, our perspectives, our life story, all of us bring something to the table that is unique and fresh. And I can't wait.
Yeah. Amazing.
I can't believe there's 600 unnamed women in the Bible. I know some of them. So I'm looking forward to learning from all of you about a few more of them. Mm-hmm. But just for me personally, to see how so many of these women are hidden and history didn't even think they were we even needed to record their name, mm-hmm. but they're not hidden from God. Yeah. And yes. so that's seeing good. How God has used these women, mm-hmm. I just think that's going to be really encouraging mm-hmm. for all of us and all of us watching to see how God uses us. And actually, God does know our names.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sure does. Love that.
I'm so excited to be here. I actually previewed some of the stories with my children at home, and they were amazed. Like, these women, why aren't they named? They're amazing right. what they did. Yeah. And I just loved how so many of these women, it seems like they play a seemingly small part. But then God just takes their small action of faith and blows it up into something so amazing. And so I'm just so excited to know these unnamed women of the Bible. Maybe we can give them our own names, right? Yeah. We could
I actually bestow thought about names that. Can on we them. Pick names for them? If we were to so name fun. Her, maybe we'll have to do that on some yes. of them.
It's hard enough to name our kids. To name all of these women, that might be like super complicated, but yes.
And I'm delighted to be here. I'm excited.
You know, I'm really excited, first of all, to see this.
Yeah.
Because this is how we should learn with our Bibles open, pages, pens, a bit of the mess. Yeah. The beauty of the chaos, but I love that. Mm. I love what you'd mentioned, Anne, Canadian women, you know, sharing our thoughts on scripture. Yeah. I also think demonstrating for the world, for Canada, about how to discuss scripture and how it comes alive when we share it together. Not, I mean, it's great to share scripture, you know, by yourselves, your devotionals, but it's a beautiful thing to do it this way and to get different ideas and angles and thoughts from different ages and demographics and experiences. We're all going to be bringing those in to each one of these stories. And I think that's where it comes alive. It's fresh, because sometimes you can read the scripture and go, oh yeah, I've read that. But then Jenny could bring something. I'm like, what? I had no idea. It was like an aha moment. So I think that is what I'm really excited about for this series. All right, so I know that all four of you have your specific unnamed woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw it to you to give a little teaser, basically a promo of your woman, name her, and maybe a little tidbit on what we can expect and something that we can look forward to. So we'll start with Helen, because Helen, you're the first one up for that.
Yeah, I'm going to be speaking about the widow who... her husband passes away. She's left with two sons and she is destitute. It's a crazy time. And I think of her in light of today. The world is in crisis. The world is in a crazy season. And this woman has a miracle happen in her life that provides not only for herself and her family, but is a story for us to learn from as well. So that's what we're talking out of 2 Kings.
Okay. So the widow.
The widow.
Widow. Okay. Yeah. Good. All right, Sarah, you're going to be the next week.
Yes, I'm also in 2 Kings, and I'm going to be speaking about a young Israeli servant girl who's taken captive from her home. And it says she's a little girl, so maybe around 10 years old, just the age of my own daughters. And the story just unfolds how this little girl has really big faith, and she has bigger faith than all these other powerful named men in the rest of that chapter. And God is able to take her little faith and really change the trajectory of what I think is a whole nation. And so I'm excited to dig into it. And I think she's a girl we're going to have to give a name to later on.
I know, I was thinking, what name can I, can I give?
Yes.
Melinda? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding,
it's
just kidding.
Totally.
Great. Okay, that's great, Sarah. Jenny, yours.
Yes, so I'm from the Gospel of John, and an unnamed woman who is caught, we're told, in the very act of adultery, and is then brought before Jesus and a whole bunch of men, and she might be about to pay with her whole life for her sin. And we're going to see how, first of all, she was humiliated, and then eventually she found refuge and physical safety and then hope for a life of commitment in this incredible encounter with Jesus. So I think, you know, as women, we're very conscious of our bodies. And what does it mean to find refuge as embodied people with Jesus? So that's good. It's a powerful story.
That's a good one. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to end off the series with Anne as the final Bible teacher. And you're a unnamed woman.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear the little synopsis because it's like connecting the dots, because the unnamed woman that I am focusing on is the Syrophoenician woman. And the significance of her story in the ministry of Jesus and how that changed the trajectory and is an unexpected surprise? And then how does that impact us today? Her suffering, her begging for a miracle, and her unbelievable faith and humility. So I can't wait to dig in. It's going to be exciting.
You know, when I listen to you all, I my heart, it goes soft and also like big because, like you said, there's over 600 women who are unnamed. And here we're bringing these women who probably their whole life were like, I'm forgotten. I'm not, you know, I'm very insignificant. And yet here we are honoring their life and their story. It actually makes me emotional. Yeah. It was the same when we talked about the unknown women, where it's like making them known. So we spoke their name out over and over. So for this, it feels so honoring as women and as sisters through the generations and centuries to actually bring their story forward and say, we continually can learn from your life. And you may have felt at that time insignificant, but we see the significance with your story. So I feel very emotional and very honoring about that. So I'm so excited about that. Well, that's great. As we sort of tease the series, now it's about getting to know us. Because I think for the people who are participating in the series, our viewers, our listeners, they want to know us. They want to know who's bringing the scriptures to us week after week.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
So, first question, and I love this. I love to ask this all the time. Why have we chosen to follow Jesus? I get this from people who are on the spiritual journey. So let's start. Why? And very simply, it doesn't have to be a long sermon, but why have you chosen to follow Jesus? Throw it out there. Open it up. Who wants to go?
I can go first.
Okay.
Why have I chosen to follow Jesus? I mean, Jesus has been the only person in my life who, like, knows all of me, like all the bits that you're never going to know on camera, who knows all of it, has seen all the dark, everything, and yet actually still loves me the most. It's usually the opposite, right? Like we put forward a mask and then people might, you know, engage with us. But the fact that the one person who actually knows everything is also the person that loves me the most and then will still actually use me is just kind of extraordinary. So since there's no one else like that in my life, and I have a wonderful husband and amazing children, but there's nobody else who's done that for me, how can I not, why would I not want to be with him at all times? So, you know, that to me has just been like the compelling story of my life.
That's awesome.
Which I'm so grateful for.
That's right? Beautiful. Yeah.
I so resonate with that too. I feel the same way. The one who knows everything about me and still loves me. And when you said the words even, and chooses to use me, that kind of blows my mind. In my journey, I grew up in a beautiful Christian family and was in church, I think, the first Sunday. I was born on a Sunday. Sure, I was in church the next Sunday because that's how my parents did it.
Of course.
But then I went through a season. I never walked away from God in the sense of I always believed in him, but I went on this a very difficult journey where I would say I was backslidden. I neglected reading the Bible and praying and being in church. And there was a day I looked at my life and I thought, I've had life with God and life without God. I can't do this without you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it feels like in some ways, I was 22 years old at the time, pregnant with my third daughter, and I thought, I can't do this without God. And so I made a decision. I'm going to follow you every day of my life. And it's the best choice I ever made. And it was a, I didn't know if anyone would go with me, but God was always with me. And so I went forward and I look back on that day and I think best decision of my life, bowing my knee to Jesus, following him hard, doing the fun stuff and the hard stuff. But I wouldn't have it any other way because life with Jesus is just everything. Yeah. I can't imagine not having him there every moment of my life.
Wow. I love that. Mm. I think same, everything that you've shared. In addition to that, you know, my parents were missionaries. They actually sold everything they had and they left Canada to follow God's calling when I was 12 years old. And so that just modeled for me learning this aspect about Jesus where Jesus is so fun. He's adventurous. Like he's wild. Like people have this image of Jesus sometimes that Jesus is straight-laced, he's boring, he's going to make you follow all these rules and make you stay at home. But that's not the Jesus I've come to know. You know, Jesus always leads me on adventures beyond what I think I could have done. And he empowers me in those adventures to do things that I probably wouldn't have been able to do on my own. And I just love seeing what Jesus is doing all around me all the time. That Jesus is so faithfully at work in everyone's life around me. And he's inviting me every day, come and be part of this adventure. Come and see how I bring dead people back to life. And so I just love to tell people there's no more adventurous, exciting, kind of wild life you can live than when you're following the Lord. And that's why I love to follow Jesus.
Amazing.
Wow, wow, wow. That's incredible. I'm just like, tell me more. I want to hear more of this story. Wow. I'm reminded of that, like, hymn. And I didn't grow up in the church, so I learned hymns, like, later on in life. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have decided to follow Jesus. Yeah, and I remember being in this, like, older, like, church, and they're singing this hymn. And I'm like, crying because I'm realizing, wow, he chose me before I chose him. Because I came into, actually, it was Helen Sturge long ago, and I've told this story before, as a young adult and had all my ideas and all the things that I thought were the way to live my life. And yet he met me in my brokenness, and there was a massive encounter. His like super like in my natural, like there was a collision. I always talk about it like a car accident, but it was like an intentional collision. And so that encounter interrupted my life. And it was after that very significant moment in time that then I began studying and looking, and I want to prove this. I want to prove that this is actually not fake, but that this is truth. Mm-hmm. And so that duet for me was this encounter plus study was like, I'm following him and giving my whole life to this and wanting to share him with the world. And so significant, like powerful encounter. Melinda, I don't know, what was it for you?
Yeah, well, this
you?
Is perfect. It's a perfect segue into the next question. I would just say quickly, for me, I think what you said, but I look at Jesus' life, and that's who I want to be. Mm-hmm. Everything about him is what I want to be, and so I think that's perfect. And then yet the encounter, as we look into what are our God encounters, I've never shared this, actually, this story publicly. I wasn't quite sure if I was going to share it here, but I, a number of years ago, was in a really bad car accident. I was in my Mini Cooper, my little Mini
Cooper, too.
And I got hit by a concrete truck. I was taking a left, and he hit me really badly. And all I remember is the airbag exploding, and I thought I was on fire. And the next thing I know, I'm being carried to the grass beside the road. And I have no idea. I honestly don't know what happened.
Right.
And people are all around me, and everybody's screaming, and there's literally police cars and ambulances, and it's chaos. And I'm like, am I dead? I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, I'm being put into the ambulance, and I'm there, and I'm freaking out. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the ambulance door, and the paramedic opens the door, and there's this man with shocking white hair, with the most beautiful eyes, says, here are Melinda's bag and keys from the car. And the paramedic goes, because my car is totaled. And he gives it to me, and the paramedic goes, "Do you know who this man is?" And I'm kind of like, "No." I find out later that when I got hit, the witnesses said they saw a man with white, shocking hair in a blaze pick me up out of the car and bring me over to the side of the road. And when the police came to find out who the first witness was, all the women who witnessed it said, "This man," and he was nowhere to be found. He was the first one on there. He was the first witness. He was never found. And I'm like, "Did that really happen?" They said, "He picked you up, brought you out before the car got worse, and he also brought your things from the car that was totaled into the ambulance." And I'm not that. That doesn't happen to me a lot, but I believe God in that way. And my angel, whatever, really saved me. And as I think about that in that really supernatural way, I have seen that happen over and over in my life. In ways of people, in supernatural ways, in scripture, but that one, and again, I've never told this because it feels so like, did that really happen? But people saw him lift me and carry me. And so that, and that day when I was saved, I'm like, I think God's got something on me. So that was my encounter.
That's a good one.
God encounter. Yeah. I know, I know. Anybody else with an encounter? Everyone's like, "Oh."
It happens and we don't share it enough.
I know, and I don't. I think it's like a little too much, but I wanted to share it with you. Share that with you.
The signs and wonders are a real testament of God's power on this planet. And so we share of it because we're sharing about him, right? And so I didn't want to interrupt. There was Helen, you were going to go.
It's funny. I was so excited about that, but I was thinking because I remember a very beautiful angelic encounter as well, which honestly, it felt like I knew in this situation, I looked heavenward and I just thought, "Oh God, that was you. You sent an angel to save me and to bring me through." But I will share about going back to that day I made a decision. I'm either going to have life with you or without you. I still remember feeling that night like such a failure. It was such a dark place in my life. My marriage was failing. I felt like failing as a mother. I was failing as a Christian. I just felt broken, just so broken. John had already moved up to Northern British Columbia and started his dental practice. I hadn't planned to go with him. It was just too difficult in this season in our life. But I just tucked my two little girls into bed, walked into my bedroom, fell on my knees. And I don't know, I somehow felt like God was going to scold me or make me feel bad. I don't know, because the enemy had so tormented me to just felt like such shame and such failure. And the presence of God, I still get tender talking about it, came into the room that night, and I felt his arms just wrap around me. And I never felt shame on you. I never felt you're failing. I felt like I've got you and I love you. And I can go back to that moment and still feel the tenderness 46 years later, because that's how long ago it was. But that moment of just knowing I'm going to be okay. I don't know if John's going to keep going with me forward in my marriage. I don't know what's going to happen with my family, but I know I have Jesus. And he showed up to me in the most beautiful way. And I remember opening that Bible for the first time in a long time. And it was found in Jude, verse 24. It talks, "Now unto him who is able to keep you and present you faultless and glorious before him." And it was like God said to me, "I see you this way, Helen." And I needed those words in the days ahead, but they have carried me this whole season. But that felt like one of the most divine encounters. It was an encounter of like love holding me, and I felt it like in a physical sense.
Beautiful.
That's amazing.
Beautiful.
I have a story that's more about other people, but that I had the privilege of kind of watching God work in their lives and be like, wow, I'm actually touching the power of God in this moment. And in a church I used to pastor called St. Clement's, we sponsored a refugee family from Syria, and they were Yazidi, which is a persecuted minority that were fleeing ISIS. And they had four daughters, and they literally walked to a refugee camp in Lebanon to make sure their daughters were not kidnapped to be sex slaves for ISIS. And we sponsored this family, and we knew they weren't Christian, obviously. We're willing to take anybody. And I remember they landed in Toronto. We met them at the airport. We brought them to one of the members of our congregation's house, and we had someone in our congregation who could speak their language, and we were talking to them. Anyway, turns out that he'd met the father of the four daughters, and we, of course, have three daughters the same age. They had encountered Jesus in the refugee camp in Lebanon.
Oh, wow.
Because they saw that Christians in a local church were the only ones who would come and take the dead bodies out of the refugee camp. Oh. And he followed these Christians one day, went to a church, and basically met Jesus. This is while he was waiting to come to Canada. Anyway, I learn all of this through the interpreter, and I'm just like, this is incredible. It was about, I don't know, March or April. So I met with him, many times. Anyway, eventually he said, could we be baptized? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it would be the biggest privilege of my life. So on Pentecost Sunday, this is how epic God is. And I thought, I'm going to learn how to do this in Arabic because I got to do it in a language that they understand, right? So I learned the Arabic to baptize this husband and wife and his four daughters. Into Jesus. And they said, could we sing a song to your congregation? This is like an English congregation. Yeah. I'm like, absolutely, right? So after we baptized them, these girls sang a song in Arabic. And the words of the baptism about being freed from slavery, to have these young women who could have been kidnapped by ISIS to be sex slaves, those words took on a whole new meaning. Like, I don't ever have to worry about that kind of slavery.
Yes.
This father had to for his daughters. Mm-hmm. And Jesus met them in that refugee camp, brought them to Toronto, and now they're like living a life of unbelievable freedom.
Amazing.
Anyway, it was just this moment where God's like, I'm just going to walk by Jenny, and I'm going to utterly transform these people's lives, and I'm going to let you watch.
Wow.
And you're like, wow. Like, talk about standing on holy ground, right? When you're actually watching it. Anyway. There's definitely a moment that stands out for me in my life. It's such a privilege, right?
Beautiful.
And that's one of the main things about Canada, is we get to serve people this way, right?
Amazing.
It's why we have such an amazing country.
Yeah. I love that.
I know. These are such great stories. We may not get to our Bible story and other things, so keep it going. Sarah, share your encounter.
I
was going with you guys, however we go.
Just an everyday encounter, and kind of coming back to what I was saying before, I've just become hooked on asking God every day, God, who can I really share your love with? And where are you at work today? And one day, this was not one of those days, I'll be honest. I went to go get a massage, and after three kids, my shoulders are a wreck, so I went to get a massage, and I fully went in there like, I'm gonna take an hour nap, I'm going to relax, and I lay down on that bed, and as soon as the massage therapist came in, started giving my massage, the Holy Spirit just prompted me, you need to pray for this woman. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I was like, I just want to take a nap. I'm really tired today. But I was like, okay, Lord, I know this is a very clear prompting from you, so I'm going to pray. So I started praying for her, and very specifically, the Holy Spirit said, you need to pray for her stomach. And I was like, okay. So I spent 60 minutes lying there in quietness in my heart, just praying for this lady's stomach. And the whole time towards the end, I was wrestling, do I mention this to her? Do I just kind of leave it and go? And I was like, God, do I need to mention it? Do I need to mention it? And so I just waited, and she finished the massage, and I got up, and I was about to leave. And she said, so how was that? Were you relaxed during the massage? And I kind of took that as a prompt. And I said, actually, you know, I believe in a God named Jesus who loves us and knows us. I don't know what you believe, but my God, this whole massage has had me pray for your stomach. And I don't know why, but I've just been praying for you and your stomach for the last hour.
Beautiful.
And this massage therapist, it looked like she had just seen a ghost. She turned completely pale. And she said, I just found out I'm pregnant. And I've had so many complicated pregnancies. And I'm extremely anxious about this pregnancy. And that's amazing. Thank you so much for those prayers. Mm. And so I told her, well, you have a God named Jesus that loves you enough to take away my afternoon nap today. And so you need to go seek him out. And I just love these kind of everyday miracles where I experience God through a stranger who probably doesn't know Christ yet. And then and yet recognizing the Spirit of God is working all around us. And just those encounters just bring me alive and make me realize why I need Christ in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she's experiencing God through your obedience. It's just this beautiful ebb and flow.
And I love about the encounters. It's like through people, through actually divine moments, through supernatural moments, through encounters at a church. I mean, they're all that God is always, always working, you know, in and through us and with people. Yeah. And I think we just have to just be aware of what's happening and what's going on.
And it was so physical. Like, you were praying for her child as well without even realizing it. I just love that.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Really quick, we have 1 minute. Tell me quickly, any scriptures that you're just like, this one, read after the show. What's a good scripture that's an anchor? Really quick.
For me, it's Isaiah 61.
Okay.
It's been my life verse.
Okay.
That's something people should read.
Isaiah 61.
Yes.
Okay, next.
John 21, it's the only place where you see Jesus cooking a meal. That's the side note.
Okay.
But it's a place where Jesus just shows his creative, redemptive power in real ways.
Okay, great.
Proverbs 24, verse 3, you pay attention to your heart. I mean, 4:23, pay attention to your heart. It affects everything you do. That's my life.
Okay.
Raising of Lazarus, Gospel of John, Jesus wept, I'm emotional, and that we don't need to be pessimist or optimist, we can have hope, and that's what Jesus gives us.
Beautiful. Habakkuk 3:17-19, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, even if it's evil around me and there's and everything's going bad, I will rejoice in the Lord. Thank you all. I wish we had more time. Thank you all. And Sarah, Helen, and Jenny for being with us. For you, our viewer and listener, sign up for our free Bible study guide at seeherelove.com/unnamedwomenstudy. Make sure you download this so you can participate with us. And may our stories and these unnamed women inspire you to follow Jesus and serve others with all of your heart, mind, and soul. And always, always know that you are seen, heard, and deeply, deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us. Sign up for this, ladies. We've got them. There's so much here. We want you to join us. Sign up. Lots of information about these incredible panelists and guests. And we would love for you to join us for the Unnamed Women Bible Series. Hope you do. Thanks for joining us.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.